Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Doonland Christian Living Today. I'm Elton.
Yes. Right now, it looks like all systems are go, but we're going to hope for the best as we get into this. We're going to continue our discussions from our service at the campground this morning. And although the weather was a little bit much for us to manage, about 95% humidity and 90 degrees, I think we all managed to have a nice supportive group that
anti-mosquito juice was going to slide right off of us because it was so humid.
It was rather nasty, but here we are, and we're thankful that we had this opportunity to share again with you today. Dawn, as we get into this, we're going to be going through, by the way, for our listening audience, we're going to be going through a lesson from Philippians and listening to Paul's epistle. But before we do that, we just want to thank you again for keeping this ministry alive, following us at Facebook and like us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. And
one of those
two. I always get that confused. But either way, we know that the archive continues to be downloaded. We know that people continue to listen and people reading our newsletter. I mean, if you're interested, give us if you want to have a copy of that newsletter, give us an email at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And we'll get you onto our mailing list.
We'll be happy to provide that.
Yes, absolutely. Dawn, anything before we get into the song tonight that you want to bring forward?
No, I'm just happy
all
to
right.
be here. Let's get
all
on.
All right, Dawn has selected Peace Like a River, so let's listen to that song.
Whatever my love.
That's a wonderful blessing of a song. And Don, we appreciate your voice as always, and you sharing that with our friends over at Bethel. And again, what a blessing it's been today sharing the word at both the Dunes and then with our small group over at Bethlehem.
Yeah.
It was a joy.
Well, that was a live performance, which is why you hear the extra folks singing in the background, the harmonies, which was so fun. I love singing with them.
It was interesting at that. All right, so Don, we're going to get into this lesson from Philippians. And just to set the tone, this is Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Philippi was most likely the first church that was formed on the European continent. And Paul is now in prison. We believe potentially in Ephesus, but maybe in Rome. We're not really quite sure just the exact time frame when things were written down here. But he is sending a message back to that church who is supporting him financially recently in terms of his care needs while he's in prison there. So he's bringing forward a message to share with them and to try to keep that church moving forward. And he talks of the fruits of their faith not being as evident as he would have liked to hope in this entire letter. So that's one of the underlying themes. But Don, would you go ahead and read our first?
Yes, this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Well, 5 and 6.
Thank you.
In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Very good. So let me give you a couple of supporting verses kind of setting up the tone for this discussion today. The first comes from later in the same letter from Paul. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul is talking about continuing on to understand God's work within them and the blessings of God's Spirit and through that grace that's planted inside of them, allowing that to grow and festering and fostering with inside them so that they can now serve God to God's glory and they can bring that His will to fruition for their purpose in life. In 2 Thessalonians, we hear Paul write, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to you fruition for your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." So here Paul is being more specific in that you have a calling and that you become more worthy and capable of that calling that God has placed inside you and that you will have the power to bring it to fruition, to use that to God's full goodness and
His glory.
And His glory, prompted by your faith. So this issue of understanding your faith and growing deeper becomes now into this discussion. And now we'll close that off with James, letter of James, chapter 2. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. So understanding this outpouring of faith that boils up from within inside of this seed that's been placed inside us at our birth, God's Spirit, God's gift of that Holy Spirit placed inside us for His purpose, coming to life within you, growing and magnifying, and you becoming aligned and understanding what your call is and how you are to utilize that call for God's glory, coming to fruition now. And as you go about doing that, God's work becomes fulfilled in your actions, and you have that wholeness in Christ. So, Dawn, as we reflect back on this morning's conversation, anything in particular you want to bring forward?
I'm just thinking about how important it is that seed is planted in you, but that you have a defined responsibility to study the gospel, to take the word, and to let that seed grow in you.
I think that's a fantastic point, Dawn. And we talked this morning about two sides to the same coin, right? If we look at grace, we have coming together in these two verses and in some other explanations around Paul's letter in Philippians here. Grace is given to you. It's something that's planted inside you, but it's God's gift. It's not something you earn, and it's a careful line we walk in this discussion because it's easy to fall in line of that whole earning God's gift of grace by your deeds, and that's not in this conversation at all. But it is an outcropping of God's work inside you, that you become overflowing with love, you become overflowing with an understanding of service and mission, and that you do go into the world. So you have these two parts that are coming together, these two halves, if you will. First is that the grace that's been won for you and received through the salvation and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that blessed forgiveness that is there that allows us to receive God's grace and fullness is something we have not anything to do with. We cannot earn it. It's been given to us already. And that was given to us at birth because of the work of Christ. And then second is an understanding that we are to have partnership in this gospel, this blessed good news. And partnership implies participation. And that's what Paul goes to. In view of your participation in the gospel, he says, from the first day. So as you became aware of faith and aware of this gospel message, you participating. You're now participating in the gospel. You're now supporting it. And this is an important element for us in our individual faith journeys to understand that we have this combination of the receiving and the giving that comes together in Paul's letters. We are not just to sit there idly receiving all of God's grace and mercy and blessings, but we're actually anticipating and expected that will call us into action to understand what his specific purpose is in the creation of our lives and how we are to embody that which he's blessed us with. And all of us have different gifts, but it is a call of action to be part of the gospel, to share the gospel. And that's what this letter of Philippians is all about. Yes, Don?
And we constantly have to discern what Christ wants from us and how he wants to use us and
right.
be prepared.
Well, that's part of the journey. That's part of the issue. When you have that relationship, you become more intimate and aware of where that relationship is to lead and fruits of that relationship and what it looks like, right? So as people go forward in understanding God's gift and they have that relationship and development, they do become more discerning. And, you know, one of the things we talked about this morning, and Paul goes on later to write and talk, and he speaks of love that grows in knowledge and wisdom. Now, that's different than the kind of love that we expect to hear, this warm and fuzzy feeling of emotions, right? That's how we want to associate love. But here Paul comes in to talk about growth of knowledge and wisdom. And I really leave it to anyone. If you are wise or are becoming wise, as you grow in wisdom, you can't sit idle with that information. You don't just sit there and contemplate the world, right? It begs for you to participate in the world, right? This awareness that you have. And somehow in your life, you'll naturally start allowing that to come out.
It's like the actions are necessary. You can't just be philosophical and sit and vegetate on what you of your knowledge. You've got to let Christ in and let him work through, and you've got to move forward, action.
Well, sure, but I will also say this, though, and this isn't contrary to what you're saying, but I want to be careful that we don't leave out the possibilities of God's work at hand, because there are those that are called for solitary prayer, and you know, they go away and they serve as brothers and sisters in Christ who just dutifully pray all day long for the needs of the world, right? And that is their calling. You know, monks and such, you know, go into this deep process of prayer, and that is their calling. And there's nothing, you know, specific to that. But that in itself is action, and it's sharing in the gospel. It is their specific alignment to God's gift and calling on their life as to what he wants them to do with it.
I'd like to understand more about that, because I don't understand that connection. I can't understand it just by you saying it to me.
Well, I guess I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that connection, but people are called to do different things. Some people are called to preach, some people are called to pray, some people are called to care for others in a lot of different ways, right?
I guess I always think that there has to be a communication back to another human being, that you're saying no.
Well, there's a spiritual communication, just like how we pray for people that leave us messages over our front line. Right, they leave their prayers up on the bulletin board, and we enter in prayer. They know that we come there for them and offer up them into prayer.
But we never go back to.
But we don't know who that person is, right?
Yeah.
And we don't touch them personally, but we have that spiritual connection.
Okay.
So the gift of what's happening and people that have discerned a life of prayer, meditation, and prayer for the general population, for the awareness of the world, to know that faith that they exude is they are constantly in prayer for the entire world or specific missions, right? So we have to give space to that the actions may be different than what we see actions in the world to be. But as you go back to your words, Dawn, the issue is careful discernment, putting yourself into understanding what God is calling you forward to do. What is your call in life? And how does that impact with the things you do each and every day?
I always think that you're kind of lucky that you have me for a wife, because I am rather black and white, even though I hate to say that out loud, and half of your listening audience probably is too.
And where would we go with these conversations?
I'm just saying, if you didn't have me to bring these things forward, you couldn't explain that so much more clearly.
Absolutely. I appreciate that so much. Thank you. I always consider myself more of a counterpuncher to be able to work with information that just go out there and throw it out there to the crowds and to the audience, if you will. Thank you for because it helps us to follow up after discussion when people ask questions and don't necessarily get it and want to see clarification or ask for a different understanding of things. And I do think you're right. It helps others because there are people out there that are listening that hope, and you talk about this often, that as we get together with the people at the dunes at the campground, if they're not willing to ask a question, somebody else will be, so don't worry about it.
I also just think that keeping open mind, too. It's not that you can't dissuade me. I'm happy to hear what other pieces of information you want to bring to the puzzle so that I can help understand it in my capacity.
Well, and I think Matthew Henry goes with a little bit of help of further explanation of where, the conversation between you and I were when we talked about these people that may just be in prayer, and that's their discernment, that's their gift, right? He says this about this text. We must thank our God for the graces and comforts, gifts and usefulness of others as we receive the benefit and God receives the glory, right? So whatever that gift is, right, we must be thankful that God has given us people that just pray for us. Right?
I'm just laughing a little bit to myself in that I don't understand the monks, and yet once a week, you and I sit down and do exactly the same thing, and I never looked at it that way, but I definitely know that I feel so full after we're done with our service that praying for those souls means something. There's no question.
Absolutely.
And yet I didn't get the money.
Absolutely.
But thank you.
And that's a discerned work that we do. So, but I'm glad that's helped to help this person help open your eyes to that. Matthew Henry goes on further and says, the work of grace will never be perfected till the day of Jesus Christ, the day of his appearance. But we may always be confident God will perform his good work in every soul where he has really begun it, by regeneration, though we must not trust in outward appearances nor in anything, but a new creation to holiness. This is God's working this new creation within us constantly. He's constantly bringing us forward to change us and to bring us into the fold of his love and to understand what we are in Christ and what we are to the world in Christ.
But what do you think he means with that next sentence? People are dear to their ministers when they receive benefit by their ministry. It almost sounds like the ministers are a little full of themselves. Am I missing that piece?
Finish off
what
the next
it feels sentence. Like. Fellow sufferers in the cause of God should be dear one to another.
Okay. So the issue here is that everyone's called in Christ. And people hold up their ministry, the ministry of their pastors. They lift it up and hold that in reverence, and they look at them, and they cherish the work that they do, and they're thankful for the work they do. But now, Paul, which Matthew Henry finishes that off, and what Paul is talking about in his letter to the church in Philippi, is the fellow sufferers in the cause of God should be dear to one another. In other words, as you enact and your priesthood as a body of Christ, as a child of God, we also should be looking to bring those people forward and to care and hold them dear, right? So not just the pastor that preaches on Sunday, but for that person that does prayer for on the prayer chain on Wednesday, right? That's really where Paul's going with this and where Matthew Henry is bringing that verse back in, that we should hold fellow sufferers in Christ, people that work to share the gospel message in any way, shape, and form they're called to and possibly can, that we are to hold them dear as well, and not just the ministry of the church proper.
So that's all part of that affirmation that we love to talk about also, and that we need to be there for each other.
Yeah, it's that, but it's also the enlargement of the church, right? It's not placing the total responsibility of all the activity of the work going to the hands of pastor or the assistant pastor and called ordained leadership, but for the lay people, the body of Christ and the body of the church to do the work also. That as we follow Christ and we are sufferers in Christ and we understand that we are to share that gospel, we too have that responsibility and we too should hold each other accountable to
fulfillment.
That make us all like worker bees? No.
I think we're all worker bees in Christ. I think it's up to our hard work to discern exactly what kind of work that is, right? We have to constantly go back in discussion. We have to constantly go back and look for where God is trying to align us and what gifts has he placed in our hands and in our bodies and our hearts. He gives us the passion to do a particular cause. And then from there, where does he place us? What does he place in front of us? Is he placing people that are in need of our love and we turn our back to them? Is he placing situations for us to stop and meditate and pray on, but we just continue on with our life as if nothing was going on? That's the issue for us. That's the work that we have in hand. So any other thoughts along this line, Dawn, in this first verse today?
I'm running out of thoughts, Elliot. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's fine. The key for me in this that I want to leave our listening audience to, just as we left with the campground today, is these two sides to the same coin of grace, right? Grace that is freely given to us, undeserved, but a blessed assurance that we have through Christ's suffering and through his resurrection for God's love for us and his mercy. He's blessed us with the grace and given that to us so that we know our destination is with him. But because of that, the joy that we should have, the active internal emotion should be calling us forward then to respond to the situations that God places us in the world. So the call to use the gospel as God works his grace inside of us, continues to share it with us each and every day and have us grow in faith and knowledge of him, that should also be at the same time compelling us then to act on his behalf, to serve him to his glory. Again, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in care ministry, whether it's in just taking care of family business on a certain day when you know it's a rough day and you just had enough, you know, but you go the extra step to support a neighbor, you go the extra step to support your child, whatever that may be, right? And that's the other side of this coin. So we have this balance that comes from an imbalance. When God's love overflows within us, we are then called to go back into balance by sharing that love, and that brings the balance to back in alignment. And we have this sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives again, the sense of inner joy. So what a blessing that is to have. So that's our message for today, and I hope it makes sense for you. And I'm sorry for our technical delays today in getting this started. Hopefully it is something that won't occur again in the near future as we try to plan our activities more appropriately in the summer season that we have, and we try to set up our new schedule and calendar for all the events that are taking place over the weekend.
Because we do love our time.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But we again thank you for the gift of listening and passing on the archive link. Look for this archive to be active and see it come about in the newsletter again. And again, once again, send us an email. Tell us about what you think about this ministry. It's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Sounds good.
We hope you have a blessed evening.
Bye now.
Bye now. We're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Woo!
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
To see you high.
To see you high.
Jesus.